Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Lamed Chet Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Rav Eliezer Omer, Yom Tov Asamuch LeShabbat Ben Milafaneha Ben Milachareah. Whether Yom Tov falls out on a Friday, Yom Tov falls out on a Sunday, there's a juxtaposition between the 2 days. He says, Me'arev Adam Shnei Uvim. First can then create two Eruvs. Omer, Eruvi Berishon LeMizrach U'Basheni LeMa'arav. There's a girsa that says Eruvi HaRishon and Eruvi HaSheni. We'll follow what's written in the Mishnah here, which is Eruvi BaRishon. My Eruv on the first day will be on the eastern side, B'Sheni, and on the second day, the Ma'arav will be on the western side. Rishon the Ma'arav on the first day to the western side, B'Sheni the Mizrach on the second day to the eastern side. Eruvi BaRishon, my Eruv will take effect on the first day, U'B'Sheni K'mnei Yiri, and on the second day, I'll be like the rest of the people of the city. Eruvi B'Sheni, my Eruv will take effect on the second day, U'B'Rishon K'mnei Yiri, and on the first day, I will be like the people in my city. What Rabbi Eliezer basically lays out here is the ability to split the days. You have Shabbat and Yom Tov, and each day is independent of the other, and therefore you could decide to have an Eruv for each day independently. You can have an Eruv for the Yom Tov, an Eruv for the Shabbat, and each one would grant you the ability or the right to go whichever direction you pleased based on what you set up for each of those days. Chamim omrim, o me'arev l'ruach achat, o eino me'arev kol ikar. He picks one direction, or he doesn't make an Eruv. O me'arev l'shnei yamim, o eino me'arev kol ikar. Or he makes an Eruv for both days, or he doesn't make an Eruv. Chachamim basically argue that it's one day. You have one choice. And that choice will be determinant for both days. That's both for the Yom Tov and for the Shabbat. You can't split between the Yom Tov and the Shabbat. You get one choice. Whatever that choice is, that will be with you for both of those days. Ketzad Yaseh. This is a Mishnah we should be familiar with because the Gemara brought this as a question earlier on about the possibility of if I can do it, then it should be as if it's done. And this is where the Gemara quoted from, this Mishnah here. Ketzad Yaseh, how do you do this? Molicho Berishon, he takes it out on the first day, Machshich Alav, and he waits for dark there. Vinotlo, he takes it Uvalo and comes back home. This is not the person themselves. We mentioned that back when we quoted this back on Lamed Gimel, because if he was there physically, he doesn't need any food, he doesn't need to do anything, because that becomes his Shvita. Here he sent out a Shliach, he sent someone to do it on his behalf. That person who went out takes the meal, takes the Eruv out on the first day, waits there with Eruv, Vinotlo, Uvalo, B'Sheni, on the second day, Machshich Alav, takes it back out there, Vokhlo, Uvalo, and then he comes back. So this is a case, obviously, where it's Yom Tov on Friday, and Shabbat is afterwards. So on the Yom Tov, he's allowed to carry. So he goes out on the first day, takes the Eruv there, waits to create the Eruv, and then brings it back home. Brings it back home because he doesn't want to leave it there. If he leaves it there, he could lose it. Someone could eat it. It could be taken. So he brings it back. The next day, he goes back out before Shabbat. He stays there. Now he can't carry it back in because it's Shabbat. So then he eats it on location, and then he comes back in at that evening. That's how we'll establish the Eruv for the first day, and then an Eruv for the second day. Nimtza mistaker b'alichato. Here, he is benefiting in his walking. U'mistaker b'eruvo. And he gets the benefit of his Eruv. Nechal b'rishon. What happens if the Eruv is eaten on the first day? Eruvo l'rishon v'ein eruvo l'sheni. Then it only works for the first day. His Eruv won't work for the second day, meaning that they're independent days. So you need an Eruv for each day. Not only do you have the benefit if you want to switch directions or do something different on the second day, but you also have the burden that comes with that, which is that the Eruv that you do on the first day will not suffice for the second day. So if the Eruv is eaten after the first day, then on the second day, you have no Eruv. You have to put out a new Eruv, or you have no Eruv at all. Amar lehem Rabbi Eliezer, motem atem li shehen shtei kedushot. Don't you agree that they are two kedushot? Aren't Shabbat and Yom Tov two different kedushot, and therefore they should be two different days, not a single entity, not a single day? So now the Gemara questions. The first thing is the position of the Chachamim. The Chachamim's position, they made two statements. It says, either me'arev l'ruach achat, or eino me'arev kol ikar. Either you pick one direction, or you don't make an Eruv. Or you do it for both days, or you don't do it at all. Both statements are the same. It's doing it in one direction, or both days, is the same statement. That's what the Gemara asks here. What does it mean that you pick one direction? It means that you get for both days, you got to pick one direction. What is 2 days? It means that it's one direction. Then basically, they've just said the same thing twice. So Hachik Amre Le Rabbonon the Rabbi Eliezer. This is what the Rabbonon say to Rabbi Eliezer. Iata modeh she'ein marvim liyom echad chetzio l'tzafon v'chetzio l'darom. Don't you agree on a single day, meaning on one Yom Tov or one Shabbat, that you can't have half the day in this direction and half the day in the other direction? You can't make an Eruv for half a day. So Amar Lehen, he said back to them, Aval. Now Aval here in the throughout this Gemara is being used as the terminology, like it's used in the Torah, Aval Sarai Ishtecha. Aval means Be'emet. You're right. And he responds to them and says, you're right that you can't make an Eruv for half a day here and half a day there. Kashem. So then they respond and the Chamim say to him, Kashem Shamarvim Yom Echad Chatzil the Darom Chatzil the Tzafon. Just like in a single day, you can't do it half to the north, half to the south. Kach in Marvim L'Shnei Yamim Yom Echad the Mizrach Yom Echad the Marav. So too, over that 2-day period, you can't make one Eruv to the east and one Eruv to the Marav. They're basically equating these 2 days to a single day. They think it's Yom Arika. It's a one long day. Even though there are 2 days involved here, it's as if it's one long day. And if you were to split the Eruv here, it would be the equivalent of taking a day and splitting it in half. Vir Rabbi Eliezer, what's Rabbi Eliezer's response to them? Hotam Kedusha Achat, Hocha Bet Kedushot. There's a big difference. Within a single day, you're dealing with one Kedusha. One day of Kedusha, which is either Shabbat or Yom Tov. There, you cannot split it in the middle. But when you're dealing with Yom Tov and Shabbat, which are two different Kedushot, two separate days, two separate entities, then why can't you split it? Why can't you have an Eruv for one day and an Eruv for the next day? That's not the equivalent of splitting one day in half. It's the equivalent of having 2 separate days, and each day having its own Eruv. So then, Amar Lahan Rabbi Eliezer. So now Rabbi Eliezer tries to bring his proof. Iyatem Modim, don't you agree, Chachamim? Shim Irei Beraglav B'Yom HaRishon, if he went out there on the first day to make his Eruv, Merei Beraglav B'Yom HaSheni, then he has to go out there on the second day and make an Eruv again. Nechal Eruvo B'Yom HaRishon, En Yotzei Olav B'Yom HaSheni. Or if he used food for his Eruv on the first day and it disappears after the first day, he may not use it on the second day. He doesn't have an Eruv for the second day. So you see that it must be 2 days. So Amru Lo, they respond to Maval. You're right. That's right. I agree to that. It's true. So now what Rabbi Lezer's proof is, Halai bet Kedushotain. He says, Vadai, Rabbi Lezer says, that means that they are 2 Kedushot. The fact that you require an Eruv on the second day to make it effective shows you that you really consider them to be 2 days. Because if you really believe that it was one long day, you'd make an Eruv right at the first day, and it would be effective for both days. You wouldn't need it there at the night of the beginning of the second day. You wouldn't have to go out the second day to make an Eruv. You wouldn't have to have the food remain to the second day. You put it out the first day, and you're done. The fact that you agree to me that you have to have an Eruv put there for the second day already indicates that you believe that there are 2 Kedushot here, or that they're 2 separate entities here. The Gemara says, Rabbanon, so what the Rabbanon respond to that is, Sfuke Misvaki Luhu. They are actually in doubt. They don't know what the setup is of Yom Tov and Shabbat. Is Yom Tov and Shabbat Yom Arika, one long day? Or is Yom Tov and Shabbat really 2 days? Therefore, Hocha L'chumra, V'Hocha L'chumra. They're machmir for both situations. They're machmir that you can only make one Eruv. The Eruv that you make on the first day is the Eruv that will be effective for both days. But they're also machmir on the other side that if the Eruv isn't there on the second day, it doesn't take effect. So they are worried that maybe it's 2 Kedushot, and therefore you need 2 Eruvs. You need 1 on the first day, 1 on the second day. But they're also worried that maybe it's 1 Kedusha. And in the case that it's 1 Kedusha, you can only make an Eruv in one direction. That will be governed by what you do on the first night. So they're machmir the Shnei Tzadim. They agree that it might be 2 Kedushot, but they also are choshesh that it is 1 Kedusha. Amru lo to Rabbi Eliezer. So now the Chachamim say to Rabbi Eliezer, Iyata modeh she'ein ma'arvim b'tchila b'yom tov l'shabbat. Don't you agree that a person cannot start or l'chatchila make an Eruv from Yom Tov to Shabbat? Amru lehen aval. You are right that you can't do that. So ha, they say back to him, ha la'ai kedusha achati. If that's the case, and it sounds like it is a Kedusha Achat. Rabbi Eliezer agrees that we don't allow you to make a Eruv from Yom Tov coming into Shabbat. So it sounds like the reason that he wouldn't let you make an Eruv coming into from Yom Tov to Shabbat is because he believes that they are Kedusha Achat. And if that's the case, it undermines Rabbi Eliezer's position. But Rabbi Eliezer now responds and says, Rabbi Eliezer, Hotam Mishum Hachano. There's a different problem you have of Yom Tov coming into Shabbat. nothing to do with Eruv, but everything to do with Yom Tov coming into Shabbat. And that is the problem of preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbat. If on the first day I go out there and I put my Eruv down for Yom Tov, that's not a problem. When I went out there, it was a weekday. When I stayed there, it became Yom Tov, and the Eruv is for Yom Tov itself. So I've only done things that are relevant for Yom Tov. The next day, when I'm coming into Shabbat, now I walk out there. I have to walk out there before Shabbat comes in. So I am walking out there on Yom Tov itself. And is it for Yom Tov? No, not at all. It's all for the next day. The benefits of this Eruv are all for Shabbat. That means that I'm trying to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat. And that's the problem. That's why Rabbi Eliezer believes that you can't put out an Eruv lechatchila, you shouldn't put out an Eruv on Yom Tov going into Shabbat. Even though technically you could split the Eruv, I don't want you doing that because it's as if you're preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbat. And that means, or that's a problem that we're going to see in a second on the second half of today's daf, which is the problem of Achana. You're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov onto Shabbat. Now, if you say that you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat, then how do we today, we prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat? We make an Eruv Tavshilin, and with the Eruv Tavshilin, we go ahead and we are then preparing from Yom Tov on Yom Tov into Shabbat. So you'll tell me, okay, that's the Eruv Tavshilin. The Eruv Tavshilin is an institution to Rabbanon. Hachana, as we're going to see in a second, Hachana de Rabba is a problem de Oraita. It's a Torah problem that you're not allowed to prepare from Yom Tov into Shabbat. So how is it possible that you could prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat with an institution to Rabbanon with a problem that is a Torah problem? So the answer of Rabbo and the Gemara in Beitza is, and the Gemara in Psachim as well, is Hoel Umikle Orchim. Right. The possibility that guests might show up, and as David said, it's really that you're cooking for Yom Tov. It has ramifications, major ramifications in terms of preparing for Shabbat, which is that you must prepare with enough time that the possibility of guests showing up. You cannot prepare from Yom Tov into Shabbat at the last minute. If you do that, then you can't say, Ho Yom Milk Le'orchim. You can't say, oh, maybe guests will show up, because the food you're warming up or that you're putting on certainly will not be ready for guests that come on Yom Tov. So that first thing is that you must then prepare an hour before. You have to give it time that guests come. The possibility of guests coming means that the food that you're putting on for Yom Tov has the possibility of being utilized on Yom Tov and is really hachana for Yom Tov itself. Turns out that nobody showed up, so then you use it for Shabbat. But that's the heter of Rabbo that allows us to be mechin mi Yom Tov the Shabbat, despite the fact that the problem is Doraita. Tosafot raises here an interesting issue, and he says that the Gemara in other places, Rabbi Eliezer, does not hold or does not subscribe to this position of Hoyil. He does not think Hoyil Milkle Orchim, the fact that guests will come, helps you. So now Rabbi Eliezer is in a bind. Rabbi Eliezer says, Hachana matters. You see it here. He says that you're not allowed to put out the Eruv from Yom Tov into Shabbat. So he says, Hachana does matter. But then, he doesn't have the heter or the dispensation that Rabbah has, which is Hoyil Milkle Orchim. Then how does Rabbi Eliezer prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbat? So Tosafot gives two answers. The second answer is more important, and that's why I'm speaking about this. First answer is a technical answer, and he says that the sugi over there that thinks that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't subscribe to Hoyil Milkle Orchim also thinks that Rabbi Eliezer doesn't believe in Hachana. So it's just a different sugi, and the sugi doesn't think that Rabbi Eliezer holds of Hachana. That's a technical answer. The second answer brought by the Ritzbah, it's in the last lines of the Tosafot on the Amud, it's an unusual, it's an interesting answer. Ritzbah Omer. Delo Shaya Chachana Ba'afio Bishul. Chachana does not apply to Afio Bishul. De'ein Zele Tikun Ba'alma Shemitakena Ma'achal. That's a small improvement, a small change in the food, and that's not called Chachana. Delo Shaya Chachana Ela Inyan Beitza Ve'iruv Shu Dovar Chadash. When we talk about Chachana, Chachana is when you generate something new. You generate a new reality or a new item. An egg that is born. So the egg that's born, that's a totally new thing that's now in the world. If it was prepared on Yom Tov and now is on Shabbat, that's problematic because you have something new in the world. And a roof is going to change your reality. To change your reality and the situation of your Shemitah, that's problematic of Hachana from Yom Tov to Shabbat. Cooking a little bit, baking a little bit, that's not real Hachana. That's not really changing the status. Obviously, we don't subscribe to this Ritzvah, but it's a very interesting Ritzvah that the possibility that Bishul and Afia would not be under that classification of Achana, yet, as you're saying, the Gemara, the Mishnah and Beitza, is all premised on Afia and Bishul being that item that we use for the Achanat Yom Tov. a very interesting mitzvah, and I wanted to just point that out. Right, Tanur Banan. We have now a Tosefta. Irev biraglav b'yom rishon, me'arev biraglav b'yom sheni. If he made an Erev with walking out there on the first day, me'arev biraglav b'yom sheni, he goes out on the second day and walks out there. Nechal Eruvo b'yom rishon, if the Erev was eaten up on the first day, ein yotzeh la b'yom sheni, then he can't use it a lot, he's it on the second day. Divrei Rabbi. That's Rabbi's position. It sounds from Rabbi that he believes when you have a Yom Tov and a Shabbat adjacent to each other, that is Shtei Kedushot, they're totally separate, and you need an Eruv for each day. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Harei Zeh Chamar Gamal. Chamar Gamal we saw before in the Mishnah, that is where he's drawn in both directions, he's stuck. He's driving the donkey, he's leading the camel, he's getting pulled in both directions. What Rabbi Yehuda thinks is that we have a Safek here. Is it Kedusha Achat? Or is it Shtei Kedushot? And therefore, if his Eruv was eaten in between, he's now in a difficult position. Because if it's Kedusha Achat, the Eruv from the first day is effective. If it's Shtei Kedushot, then his Eruv now is where he is, presently, that is, in his house. So what we're going to allow him is only the overlap between where the Eruv was on the first day and his house. And that's what we call Chamar Gamal. Again, against the overlapping Venn diagrams. That overlap is the area that we will allow you, the overlap of the 2,000 amot from the two Eruvs, or two possible Eruvin, that's where we're going to allow you. So that's the second opinion. Now we have a third opinion in this bright, the Tosefta, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan Bebrok Omrim, Irei Baraglav B'Rishon, Ein Me'arav Baraglav B'Sheni, Ne'achal Eruvo B'Yom Rishon, Yotzei Olav B'Sheni. So they clearly believe it's Kedusha Achat. Kedusha Achat, the fact that you put down an Eruv on the first day, you don't have to do anything for the second day. You put out your Eruv on the first day and it's eaten, no problem. The Eruv that you did on the first day is effective for both days. So here you have the spectrum of opinions. Rebbe is of the opinion, like Rabbi Lezer in our Mishnah, that it is absolutely, certainly, 2 days, Shtei Kedushot. You have Rabbi Yehuda, who is akin to the Rabbonon in our Mishnah, where it's a Safek. He's uncertain as to whether it's Kedusha Achat or Shtei Kedushot. And then you have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, that are the other side of the spectrum, who believe that it's clearly Kedusha Achat, and there's no question that we're talking about one long day, and the Eruv from the first day is effective for the second day. So Amar Rav, Halacha Kedalid Zkenim Halalu, Halacha is like these four elders, Valiva de Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, Amar Bet Kedushotain, that the case where Shabbat and Yom Tov are juxtaposed, adjacent to each other, they're considered to be Shtei Kedushot, no questions about it. We have Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, and then he brings the four Zkenim that subscribe to that position of Rabbi Eliezer. Four Zkenim are, Ve'eluin Delet Zkenim, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, already that should be a problem. We just quoted them in Tosefta, and in Tosefta they said, Vadai Kedusha Achat, that they're clearly Kedusha Achat, and now we're quoting them as being the authors of a position that Shtei Kedushot Haim. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, right, this is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's son, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Stimta. Rabbi Rabbi Yom Stimta is the Stam. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda that Rabbi quotes throughout the Mishnayot, meaning that when he quotes him, this is the one that we're referring to. So those are the four Zkenim that we're talking about. They are a generation later. So these are four Zkenim that subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. So Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkunus, who's the Stam Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah. And then these are the four Zkenim that subscribe to his position. V'ika Damre, Chad Mineu Rabbi Elazar. And one of them is Rabbi Elazar. Stam Rabbi Eliezer and Shas is Rabbi Eliezer ben Shamua. So that's what we're talking about here. Umeipik Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Stimta. And then he takes out Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda and replaces him with Rabbi Elazar. Now the Gemara asks what we pointed out. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Ipchosh Meinanu. Didn't we just hear the opposite from them in the Tosefta that we just quoted? Gemara says, no problem, Ipuch. Flip their position in the Tosefta. Gemara says, Hi, I know Rabbi. If you flip their position in the Tosefta, Rabbi was of the opinion it's clearly Shtei Kedushot. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda saying that he's not sure. And then you have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Benosh, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka saying that it's Kedusha Achat. Now if you change their position to be Shtei Kedushot, they're saying the same thing that Rabbi said. Rabbi said Shtei Kedushot, they're saying Shtei Kedushot. So where it says, Ema, so then you'd have to amend the Tosefta to say, V'chein Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. They have to amend it to say they don't just have an opinion, it's V'chein. They also agree with what Rabbi said. Says Umar says, V'lichshov nami Rabbi. Well, if you're enumerating here people who have the opinion of Shtei Kedushot, so you mentioned Rabbi Lez, you mentioned the poor Zkenim, you skipped, what about Rabbi? Rabbi was in the Tosefta, he was explicit about the fact that he has Shtei Kedushot. where it says, Rabbi Tani La Velo Sover La. Rabbi quoted that opinion, but he does not subscribe to that opinion. So in the end, it would have made a lot of sense to flip Rabbi with the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Rocha. The Gemara does not do that and leaves Rabbi's position in place and says Rabbi is quoting a position that he doesn't necessarily subscribe to. So Gemara says, okay, V'Rabbanan Nami, why don't you say the same thing about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher and Rabbi Yochanan Ben Rocha? Tanu La, V'lo Savri La. That maybe they also quote an opinion, but they don't subscribe to it. Where it says, Rav Gemara Gemir La, he had a Misora. He had a Misora that when Rabbi quoted that opinion, it was not the one that he subscribed to. Yet, when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Shmuel Ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Rocha quoted their opinion, they did subscribe to it, and it wasn't that they were just quoting another opinion that they did not subscribe to. He had a Misora about that, and that's why he quotes it in that manner. Kinach Nafshei Rav Huna. Rav Huna passed away. Ayo Rav Chista, the Mirma Derava Derav. Chista came in to ask a question on the two statements of Rav. It's interesting in the Gemara in different places, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, what exactly their relationship is. They are Talmidim of Rav. In different places in the Gemara, it has Rav Huna as a Talmud of Chista, in some places Rav Chista is a Talmud of Rav Huna, and Tosafot in many places tries to deal with that difference. Here's one of the cases where it seems to be that Rav Chista is younger than Rav Huna because he outlives Rav Huna at this point. It says here that Rav Huna passed away, and then Rav Chista comes in to ask a question on two positions of Rav. Mi amar Rav halacha kedalad zkenim? Can Rav really say that the halacha is like the dalad zkenim that we're talking about shtei kedushot valiba de Rabbi Eliezer? Tamar shtei kedushot ein. Vaha itmar. Don't we have a statement from Rav? Shabbat v'yom tov. When you have Shabbat and Yom Tov adjacent, Rav amar nolda bezeh. If you have an egg that's born on one day, you cannot utilize it on the next day. So if Rav really thinks that there's shtei kedushot, what's the problem? If it's born on Yom Tov, that's Yom Tov. Shabbat is a totally different day. So why do you have a problem if it's born on Yom Tov, the egg, then you can't utilize it on Shabbat? What's the issue? Amar Rabba. So Rabba answers, Hota mishum hachana. The same thing that we answered before on behalf of Rabbi Eliezer. That's not a problem of shtei kedushot. That's a problem of achana. You're preparing on Yom Tov for Shabbat. This is much more involved. It's a Gemara in the beginning of Beitza that we'll get to eventually. But the Gemara's belief is that any egg that is born today was finished being created the day before. So if the egg was born on Shabbat, that means that it was finished on Yom Tov. And that means that Yom Tov ended up preparing for Shabbat, because the completion of the egg was on Yom Tov, and then now it's Shabbat. So the problem of the egg here is because of the problem of Hachana, which is that you're preparing from one day to the next. Because if the subsequent day the egg is born, that means the day before you prepared the egg. Now, I'm not going to get so deep into this, because again, it's a major sugya in the beginning of the Gemara Beitza, but right now, Rabba quotes a position or a support position to Tanya. As a brayta, vaya bayom hashishi ve'echinu et asher yivu. That on the sixth day they prepared for the next day. So on Friday you prepare for what's going to be on Shabbat. So that's the proof text that Rava brings. The Rabbeinu Tam knocks out the Tanya, knocks out the brayta, because this is Rabba's position, and the Gemara other places says Rabba the Tamei. It's Rabba the Shitato. What do you mean it's the Shitato? It's Rabba with a brayta. So what does that mean? It's the shita, though. It's the shita of the braita. He's subscribing to a position of a braita. So Tosafot over here defends that position in that girsa and explains that the Tanya over here is that he has a braita that supports him. He is the author of the position, and he has a braita that supports him. The problem is that he has someone who argues on him. And Rabbi Yochanan argues on Rabba's position. How can he argue on Rabba's position? He has a braita. The answer that Tosafot gives is that maybe this braita is not a definitive braita. It wasn't learnt in the Beis Medrash of Chia and Rav Oshia, and therefore maybe it's not a definitive braita. But we then still call this position of Achana the position of Rabba, even though he's quoting a braita to support it. It's Rabba's position, and with a braita included in it. How does it work here? So it says, Chol Mechin LeShabbat, a weekday prepares for Shabbat, V'chol Mechin LeYom Tov, and a weekday prepares for Yom Tov, and Yom Tov Mechin LeShabbat, and Shabbat Mechin LeYom Tov. But Yom Tov can't prepare for Shabbat, and Shabbat cannot prepare for Yom Tov. How do we learn that from the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Vayabayom Shi, Vechinu et Asher Yaviu. The classic way to explain it is, on Friday, double portion of man fell. There was a double portion of man on Friday, and therefore they were prepared for Shabbat. That's what it means to prepare on Friday. Prepare on Friday means you get the double portion, and that's how you're prepared. Friday prepares for Shabbat, because Friday got the double portion of the man. Tosafot here raises an issue that comes up also in the beginning of Beit Zion. He raises it there as well. That's really great for Shabbat, because it's Hayabi Yom HaShishi, Bechino Asher Yaviyo. So that's a double portion of man. So now, what are you saying? You're saying that for Yom Tov. We just said now that a weekday prepares for Yom Tov. The implications of that are that also a double portion of man fell on Erev Yom Tov. That the man did not fall on Yom Tov. It only fell on weekdays, not on Shabbat, not on Yom Tov. And therefore, you got a double portion before Shabbat, you got a double portion before Yom Tov, and that is the proof that you have to prepare ahead of time. The question is that really true? The Torah only talks about the man falling a double portion on Shabbat. For Shabbat, on Erev Shabbat. Never speaks about Erev Yom Tov. Tosfot brings a machloket midrashim. Midrashim argue about this. Whether double man fell on Erev Shabbat and Erev Yom Tov, or only on Shabbat. That the man did come down on Yom Tov. What you're pointing out is that Ochel Nefesh is permitted on Yom Tov. So why do they need a double portion? Question whether the man fell on Yom Tov. It has implications, l'alacha. Which the Tosafot and Beitza quotes, and over here he mentions as well that it is a machloket hamidrashim as to whether it was a double portion on Yom Tov. The question is, do you need lechem mishneh on Yom Tov? If you believe there was a double man fell on Erev Yom Tov, that's why you would have lechem mishneh on Yom Tov. If you think the man came down on Yom Tov, there would be no reason to have lechem mishneh on Yom Tov. The reason we have lechem mishneh on Shabbat is from the mind of the double portion that fell on Erev Shabbat, so we have lechem mishneh for Shabbat. So that would really depend on this machloket midrashim. We are choshesh for that midrash that says that it did not fall on Yom Tov, and that's why we have lechem mishneh on Yom Tov. But that is not a given. It's not so straightforward. But once you do that and you say it's not related to the man, because possibly the man did come down on Yom Tov, then how do you explain the limud here? Ve'haya b'yom ha'shishi ve'achinu. What is the ve'achinu over here? So Tosafot over here says that the heya yidya ha'shishi ve'achinu is hashishi means ha mi yuman, ha means like the specific, the sixth day. So the sixth day means that it's a special day that prepares for Shabbat. What's the specialness of that day? Is that it's a weekday. And so that's how you'd have to explain it here. Not that it's hashishi in terms of being the sixth day double month portion, but hashishi being that it's unique in the fact that it's chol and not Yom Tov and not Shabbat, and that's what allows you to prepare. And based on that, you must prepare from a weekday to Shabbat, a weekday to Yom Tov, and not from Yom Tov to Shabbat or Shabbat to Yom Tov. That's what we call Hachana Durabo, which we mentioned before. So Amar Le'Abaye, Elahad Etnan, what about our Mishnah? Ketzad Huo Seh. What does he do in our Mishnah? It says, what does he do here? Molicho Berishon Umachshich Alav. He walks out there, the shliach goes out there with the eruv on the first day, and he waits there for dark to fall. V'nodlo v'alo. And then he brings it back home. V'sheni, he goes back out there. Machshlich alav v'ochlo. Takes it out there and eats it. Uvalo, and then he comes back. Ha, kamichim yom tov the Shabbat. That's exactly what Rabbi Eliezer said before, that this is a problem of mechim yom tov the Shabbat. How come our Mishnah says you can do exactly that? You're allowed to go out on Yom Tov to prepare for Shabbat, meaning you're allowed to go on Yom Tov to have an Eruv there for Shabbat, and our Mishnah is explicit about that. You Rabba who says, Hachana the Rabba, how do you do this? Why are we allowed to do this? Why are you allowed to walk out on Yom Tov, put your Eruv down there for Shabbat? That is, Mechim Yom Tov the Shabbat. Samarle Rabba Misavart Sofu Yom Koneh Eruv. You think the end of the day is Koneh the Eruv? Tchilat Yom Koneh Eruv. It's the beginning of the day that's Koneh the Eruv. Shabbat Mechina Latzma. And in truth, it's Shabbat's preparing for itself. So now Gemara says, if that's the case, yarvu b'lagin. So what about the fact that you can't use lagin? Lagin is something we discussed before about the tvoyom. Tvoyom wants to take out the Trumat Maser, but he is a tvoyom. He has to wait for the sun to set on the day for him to be tahor to deal with the Truma. So he's not tahor until the sun sets. But when the sun sets already, it's into the next day. So we said over there that it doesn't work. He's unable to use this Trumat Maser, or to make this Trumat Maser for his Eruv, because he can't come into contact with it. He can't utilize it, because he is Tameh until the sun sets. But if you're telling me, Rabbah, that it doesn't take effect till the next day, meaning the beginning of Shabbat, that means that it only is effective after the sun sets. If that's the case, then why can't he use Trumat Maser? He's Tahor by that time. Mar says, Be'inan Suda Ruyami Bo Yom Veleka. You need a Suda that is qualified during the daytime, and that you don't have here. And that's an interesting thing. You have two demands in order to make an Eruv. One demand is that it be a Suda Ruyah Miyod Yom. The Suda is to be Ruyah before you reach the new day. Plus, you have to have, in addition to that, that it takes effect b'tchilat hayom, according to Rabbah, that it takes effect when the new day comes in. So you have one qualification is that before the day comes in, it has to be a qualified meal. And number two is when the day comes in, that's when the Eruv takes effect. So those are two separate requirements of the Eruv. V'lahaditznan. What about this Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Yom Tov Asamuch LeShabbat, Ben Milafanah, Ben Milacharah. If you have Yom Tov and Shabbat that are adjacent, whether it's in front or in back, Me'arev Adam Shnei Eruvim, you need two Eruvim. Ha, Be'inan, Hasuda, Aruyami Yom, V'leka. You need a Suda that is Ruyami Yom, and you don't have that. Because if you look at our Mishnah, which is what the Gemara is quoting here, our Mishnah, Mishnah says on the first day you can make it on the east, second day can make it on the west. He's living in the middle. His house is in the middle. It's 1,999 amot to his Eruv on the east. 1,999 amot to his Eruv on the west. So for the first day, he says, my Eruv's on the eastern side. So by having it on the eastern side, he has 2,000 amot which end at his house. The 2,000 amot end at his house. That's the end of his Eruv on the first day. Then to the second day, he flips and he wants his Eruv to be on the western side, which means that his Eruv ends at his house, but from the western side. How does he ever get from one to the other? On the first day, the Eruv on the eastern side took effect. He is limited now to 2,000 amot in each direction from that Eruv. Those 2,000 amot end at his house. To get to the Eruv that he wants on the western side, he can't reach there. He's unable to access that meal because he's too far away. The Eruv that he has is too far away. So how is he ever going to get the Eruv on the second day to take effect? It's not a sudaru yabiyo jom. He could never access that meal during the daytime because his Eruv gave him the other direction. And now he has no way to get access to the meal on the western side. So how is it that Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah says you can have one to the east, one to the west, and have your days split? It's not a su'uda haruya b'yod yom. But it says, Misavar t'manach le b'sof alpayim ama l'kan, b'sof alpayim ama l'kan. Like I just described to you, you thought he put the Eruv out 2,000 amot in one direction, 2,000 amot in the other direction, so there is no overlap. That may not be the case. No, that's not the case. The monoclave is sovelef amalekan, misovelef amalekan. Put it out 1,000 amot in this direction, and 1,000 amot in this direction. So there is an overlap between the two Eruvim. There's an overlap between the two Eruvim. Now we understand that he gets from one to the other. He'll benefit for the other 3,000 amot, but in the interim, there is overlap between the two Eruvim, and that solves our problem. Now, just to wrap up on this one thing that we said before, on what period of time does the Eruv take effect? Does it take effect at the end of the other previous day or the beginning of the next day? There's an interesting question about what exactly is the machloket here between Rabbah and Abaye. How do we solve the problem of the Eruvim being in two different directions? Abaye believes that the Eruv takes effect at the end of the previous day. Rabbah says it takes effect at the beginning of the next day. So Rabbah has a problem now when you have Eruvim in two different directions. But what's the solution for Abaye? Abaye doesn't think he has that problem because his Eruv is at the end of the previous day. Why does that solve his problem? So there are two ways to explain that. One is to say that Abaye doesn't believe you need a Suda Haruya B'yod Yom. That's one possibility. Therefore, when the Eruv is on the other side, it doesn't matter. The other way to say it or formulate it is that if the Eruv takes effect at the end of the previous day, that means that the first Eruv terminates before the end of that day. Because in order for the new Eruv to take effect, the other one has to terminate. And the other one is terminating before the end of the day, in order to allow the new Eruv to take effect. Well, if that's the case, if the other one terminated, then you have the ability to access the Eruv on the other side. You have an Eruv to the east, you're at your house. You have an Eruv in the west, and they're 4,000 amot away from each other. So right 5 minutes before the end of that day, that Eruv on one side terminates because it has to give you room to open up the new Eruv. As soon as that Eruv terminates, you're now back in your house. You can access the one in the Ma'arav. And now you don't have a problem in terms of accessing the Eruv on the other side. And that's why Abaye does not have a problem with accessing it. So why Abaye doesn't think he has a problem and Rabbah does have a problem could be one of those two reasons. Abaye could be saying that I don't believe that you need a Sudar Rumi Yom, and that's why he doesn't have the problem. Or he could be saying that the fact that I think it terminates during the day and not start the next day, I have time for him to get access to the other Eruv. You don't have that, because you think the Eruv only takes effect the next day. That means that your other Eruv is effective until the end of the day, and you never get access to your Eruv, miba'od yom. And that could be the difference, that Rishonim deal with it differently. Well, if he used an Eruv going there on the first day, then he goes out the second day and does it by going out physically. If he used bread as the Eruv on the first day, he uses Eruv on the second day. Ha, kemeichem Yom Tov the Shabbat. How can he do that? He's preparing from Yom Tov the Shabbat. Mar says here, the fact that you're walking out there is preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbat. How can you do that? Now, the Gemara doesn't think that the walking itself inherently is the problem. They think that when you walk out there, you have to say, Shvitati po, that this is where I have my Shvita, and the speaking would be a Meichem Yom Tov the Shabbat, because you have to do that before the sun sets. You have to say that my Shvita's here, and that you're doing on Yom Tov. So that should be considered or classified as preparation from Yom Tov to Shabbat. So Gemara says, Amar Misavar Dazil Bamar Mida, you think he's going out there and declaring his Shvita? Dazil Bashotik Viotiv. He goes out there, says nothing, and sits down. And his Shvita happens automatically. So he's not making me Yom Tov the Shabbat because he doesn't do anything. He doesn't say anything that is pogeya on the Yom Tov. Kiman, who's this like? Ki Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It's like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri will be later in the Masechta. Tamar Chetzei Efker Konim Shvita. That unowned items also have a Tchum. That they take on a Tchum of wherever they are when Shabbat comes in. That is their Tchum, and they acquire that Tchum. Others believe, the Rabbanim believe over there, the Chetzei Efker have no Tchum because they have no Balim. So their tchum is whoever takes possession of them, then they become like the balim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says, no, every object collects an independent tchum, and their tchum is determined by where they are coming into Shabbat. So over here, when you said nothing, but the fact that you're sitting there automatically makes it into your Shvita, that will be according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. He says that every object gets its tchum wherever it is when you come into Shabbat. So you're there, you get your Shvita. It says, afilu tamer rabbanan. Ad kan lo pligi rabbanan alei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri el b'yashen. What happens if a guy falls asleep? So Rabbanan believe if a guy falls asleep coming into Shabbat, he has no tchum. Because he never had in mind to make an Eruv, or to make this his Shvita. He fell asleep, he took a nap there. He wasn't planning on making that a Shvita. It just that he fell asleep and it came in. So he wakes up, he's stuck. He has Dalet Amot, that's it. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says he's no worse than Chetzei Hefker. And just like Chetzei Hefker acquire a tchum by themselves, so too the guy who's sleeping acquires a tchum by himself. So Gemara says, Agan lo pligi rabbonin alei Rabbi Yochanan Nuri yashen. When he's sleeping, to lo motzi amar, because there he has no ability to say Shvita deep po, that this is my Shvita, it's right here, because he's sleeping. Aval b'neyur, but when he's awake, deep by the meimar matzi amar, since he has the possibility to say it, afagav dolo amar, even though he didn't say it, command amar dami, it's as if he said it. So, it's the equivalent of what we say in many places in Shas, kol haroi lebila, ein bila me'akevet bo. If you can do something, even though you don't execute on it, that's enough to say that you've done it. But if you cannot do it, then we don't automatically assume that you can execute it. So over here, since you should say Shvita Dipo, but here you have a problem because we make an Yom Tov the Shabbat, the fact that you don't say it doesn't preclude you from getting your Shvita there. But if you're sleeping where you couldn't say it, then you are precluded and it won't work at all. Amalei Rabba bar Rav Chanan Labai, Iva Shmilei Marha. Had Rabba heard what I'm about to quote you, do you think he would have had a different opinion? Titania, Lo Yaleich Adam L'Sof Sadeu, Leda Mahi Tzricha. Person should not on Shabbat walk to the end of his field, walk through his field or to the end of his field or the end of his tchum to see what his field needs. Yotzebo, Lo Yitiel Adam Al Petach Medina, Kedei Shikanes Tamarchatz Miyad. Person shouldn't walk certain distance so that as soon as Shabbat is over, he's ready to go into the bathhouse. He wants to then go to the bath after Shabbat. So what does he do? He walks all the way to the end of the tchum, he walks to a location, and he waits there so that as soon as Shabbat's over, he can go and get to the bathhouse expediently. So he's not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to prepare on Shabbat for post-Shabbat. So similarly, it should be the same thing here. All of these items that we enumerated here in this Braita are walking. He's simply walking to a location. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything besides walking. He walks out there to look and see what his field needs. Shouldn't do that. He walks out there to get into the bathhouse. He shouldn't do that. He didn't say anything. He just walked out there. And yet we say it's problematic. Had Rabba heard this, would he have changed his mind about the Eruv? The fact that here he said, oh, just let him walk out there and not say anything. And that's how his Eruv works. And that's not Mechim Yom Tov the Shabbat. We see that is called Hachana. So Hadarbe, he thinks, yes, he would have reversed his position. The Gemara then says, Velohi, and that's not true. Shamalei, he did hear this Braita, Veloha Darbe. And he would not have retracted his position. Hotam Muchucha Milta. Over there, it's clear why he's walking out there. Hacha Lav Muchucha Miltahi. Over here, it's not clear why he's walking out there. Over there, the only reason for him to go out there's nothing out there. The only reason for him to go out there is to go look at his field. Everybody knows he has a field out there. And the reason for him to go out there is to go see what's going on in his field. In the case of the bathhouse, there's no reason for him to be at the end of the tchum or to be waiting there to go right after Shabbat unless he wants to go into the bathhouse. Everybody knows that's what he's doing. In the case here by the Eruv, it's not clear what he's doing. He's just walking out there. Maybe, and that's what the Gemara says, Itzumer mirabananu, v'ziyam tamar chacham, that he was reviewing his Gemara, Torah Shabbat, he was reviewing in his head, and he lost himself. So he just kept walking, and all of a sudden he wakes up and he realizes that he's over there. He might have just been walking without realizing where he's going. If it's an Amaretz, you can say, listen, maybe one of his donkeys ran away, and he's looking for his donkey. He's within the tchum, he's allowed to do that, he's allowed to look for his donkey, though it shouldn't be a problem. Problem is when it's mukhamilta, when it's obvious that you're doing it for something else. And we have a requirement, as Rashi says on Shabbat, based on the Pasuk in Yishayahu, that Amaretz mimtso cheftecha, that you're not allowed to deal with your chafatzim. Your issues you're not allowed to deal with on Shabbat. You can do cheftei shamayim, but you can't do cheftecha. And so if you're doing things that are for your benefit on Shabbat, that you may not do, you may not check your field on Shabbat, you may not prepare so that you can end up in the bathhouse after Shabbat, that's all chafatzecha, that you can't do. If it's not mukhra milta, when other people look at you and have no clue why you're out there, or you're not doing anything that's asur on Shabbat, like for instance, the Amar is looking for his donkey, which is not something that's asur on Shabbat, over there we can ascribe you are walking out there to something that's not a Surah and Shabbat, then we don't worry about it, because it's not Mukha Milta that you're doing it for that specific purpose. So now, just Gufa to finish up here. I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Irei Beraglav Yom Rishon, Merei Beraglav B'Sheni. If made an Erev on the first day with this walking out there, on the second day you can walk out there. Irei B'Papri Yom Rishon, if you use Pat for the first day, Merei B'Papri Yom Sheni, then you use Pat on the second day. Irei pat rishon, merei beraglav b'sheni. If you use pat on the first day, you use the meal, put it out there for the first eruv, merei beraglav b'sheni, you can walk out on the second day. Irei beraglav rishon, on the other hand, if you made an eruv by walking out there on the first day, ein merei b'pat b'sheni. You're not allowed to then go out on the second day and use the meal as your eruv. She'ein, this is what the Chachamim quoted to Rabbi Lezer before, she'ein me'arvim b'tchila b'pat. You're not allowed to l'chatchila use a pat going in from Yom Tov into Shabbat. Irev bad for Yom Rishon. Mirev bad for Yom Shini. Wait a minute. We just said before in the statement of Rav Yehuda that if he made an Erev on the first day with a pot, he's allowed to bring a pot out on the second day. Sounds like you can use pot from Yom Tov into Shabbat. How come we just said in the quote from Rav Yehuda that you can't do that? You can't use pot for Yom Shini. Amar Shmuel ba'oto pot. That's only if you use the same bread. If you're already qualified as an Eruv on the first day, then you can use it again on the second day as an Eruv. But to, on the second day, designate something as an Eruv, that is problematic. That we do not allow you to do. It's very interesting here. Tosfot points out the problem is that Rav Yehuda is a Talmid of Shmuel. So now we have a member of Rav Yehuda. And on that member, Shmuel is making a statement. He's making a comment about a student's member, which doesn't make sense. So Tosfot says that Rav Yehuda's statement is also a Braita. Rav Yehuda is really quoting a Braita over here. And that would help us also before, Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara before, the Chamim quoted this to Rabbi Eliezer. Seems pretty clear that this is a Braita that Rabbi Yehuda is bringing down, and that's why you have a comment of Shmuel on it. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense that Shmuel's commenting on a memra of his student, Rabbi Yehuda. So what we see from here is that you're not allowed the Chatchila Meichim Mishab Yom Tov Shabbat does applies, and therefore you cannot start an Eruv on Yom Tov. If you already made something into an Eruv, this bread was already designated as an Eruv from before Yom Tov, you can use it then on Yom Tov itself for Shabbat. But if you did on the first day, you walked out there and made your Shvita by walking out there, and the second day you want to make an Eruv with pots, now you have to designate this pot as an Eruv. That you cannot do, because that's called Chachona, because you're calling it a Shem Eruv today. And it's clear that what you're doing now, if you're calling it an Eruv, that means you're preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbat. If you take something that's already designated as an Eruv, then you've done nothing new on Yom Tov. You can't call that Achana to Shabbat, because it was already called an Eruv on Erev Yom Tov. You already made it to an Eruv then, and if you reuse it on Yom Tov, that's fine, because you haven't done something new. You haven't done anything that indicates it's clear that you're preparing from Yom Tov to Shabbat. Amar Rav Ashi, Dekanami Matnitan, our Mishnah is also Meduyak this way, Diktani. Kate said, who said? Our Mishnah says, how does he do this? Moli kol b'rishon u'machshich alav. He goes out on the first day, and he waits for it to become dark. Minot lo balo. He comes back home. Takes it, comes home. B'sheni, he goes out, machshich alav v'ochlo. U'balo. And then he waits there, eats it, and comes home. So why does he bring it home on the first day? The deal he wants to make on the Mishnah is he brings it home because that's the only way he can use it on the second day. The reason that he brings it home on the first day is so that on the second day, he has that pot, that Eruv, to use again on the second day. And so that's why he brings it home. Otherwise, why doesn't he just leave it there? Why does he need to bring it home? Or why doesn't he eat it there? The answer being that he wants to utilize it again. And why does he have to utilize it again? Because of this memra of Rabbi Yehuda, that you can only reuse an Eruv. You cannot start an Eruv on Yom Tov. Rabbanon. What about the Rabbanon? The Rabbanon that we quoted before, Abaye and Rabbah bar Rav Chanin, who discuss Rabbah's position, and they don't say that our Mishnah is Meduyak like Rabbah. They never quote this. So what are they thinking? Why don't they think the Mishnah is Meduyak like Rabbah? They say, Eitzatovo Kamashman. It's giving you good advice. Don't leave your Eruv there, because it may not be there the next day when you come back. If you leave it there, it might get eaten, it might get ruined, and then you won't have an Eruv. Bring it back home, because you can. It's Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry. So bring it back, because then you'll save yourself the problem of going there the next day and finding that the Eruv's not there. So it's just a good advice, not that it's a halachic reason to bring it back. As opposed to Rav Ashi, who's trying to say that the Mishnah is giving you halachic advice, which is take it back home, because that's the only way you're going to be able to use the pot for an Eruv the next day, is if you take it back home. Because that was designated prior to Yom Tov, is designated as an Eruv. Since it was designated before Yom Tov, you can reuse it on Yom Tov itself, for Shabbat. Again, this idea of Mechin Yom Tov the Shabbat is only a problem when you do something new. If you designate something as an Eruv on Yom Tov, and they're going to use it for Shabbat, that's problematic. But if you already was designated as to use as an Eruv, and now on Yom Tov again, you just walk out there with it, you've done nothing new. It was already called an Eruv beforehand. You want to walk out somewhere, you can do that anytime you want. So you haven't done anything new. It happens to benefit you and create the Eruv for Shabbat for you, but that's not called Mechin Yom Tov the Shabbat. Okay, we'll stop over here.